So while we were away, I decided I would while a couple of hours away during the Normathon by showing up late in the evening. They probably needed me.
I was listening.
How late was this?
This was probably around 8:30, something like that.
When did they go off the air? Midnight?
Midnight. They started at 6 a.m. and went till midnight.
Yeah, maybe it was
late. It used to be 6 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe it was later than that. But we got to talking about old ticket tales, and everybody seems to like that, so I thought I would spin a very rarely told ticket tale for you of the early days of the ticket. I got to thinking about this last night, as I'm doing a lot of time thinking about these and those days and that time and everything lately. And I rolled around to the idea of just how it was that we arrived at the 1310 AM frequency.
Because you had the idea.
We had the idea. And we were looking around out there, but there was, almost from the first moment on, one of the big questions that we couldn't figure out was, okay, are we going to try and do this?
Isn't that the biggest problem, too?
It's a huge problem.
When it comes to actually starting a radio station, is finding a signal?
Yeah, it's a huge problem. You know, and today, if somebody wanted to do something like that, you could put it up on the internet, you know? No big deal. But back then, you had to buy a radio frequency. And radio frequencies are not inexpensive propositions, even the lousy ones.
And they're not abundant.
No, they are not abundant.
And God forbid you try to start a brand new one.
That's right. They're finite.
Yes, they are finite. And those who have them are usually not terribly eager to unload them. However, as we found, everything does have its price in this world.
Especially hookers.
Mm-hmm. He's right.
You remember that, Corby.
I'm writing it down, Corby? So I can remember it.
So anyway, we started looking around, and we knew it was going to have to be on AM, because an FM frequency in this market at that time was just absolutely prohibitive, even a lousy one, because this is a market that is, the terrain around here is not hilly or anything like that, and FM dominates around here. From the time that it started dominating in the mid-70s or so on, that's the way it's been. Now, if this were Seattle, or if this were Denver, or if this were Los Angeles, or San Francisco, or somewhere like that, that's a different deal. AM still does pretty well out there.
Yeah.
So we're looking around at the AM frequencies, and straight away we knew that there were several that were just going to be off the table because they were not for sale. One of those would be 570. One of those would be WBAP, sitting pretty at 820.
Might be able to get that one on eBay now.
Yeah, you might. Back then, though, they were the country giant.
It's jokes. It's like punching your kid sister.
It's true.
Come on.
KRLD was around at 1080. As you make your way up the dial, there was 1190, which is, not a real great frequency or anything like that, but we thought that it would be a little bit too prohibitive for us. And on up the way, there was 1310, which we also thought would be a little price prohibitive for us. But there was another thing going on at 1310 that I'd always heard was true, and I believe was at that time. But I figured that this would take us out of play, or take it out of play for us too, because at that time, it was owned by Bonneville Broadcasting out of Salt Lake City, which is interned owned by the Mormon Church.
Wow.
And
still? Are they even around?
I don't know. I think they're still around. But back then, I had enough people tell me that this was true where I kind of believed it. It does sound crazy, like an old wives' tale. But then on the other hand, when you look at the Mormons and the way they roll, you can see where they might buy into something like this. But I'd heard that the whole idea of the Mormons owning a broadcast company that what they wanted to do was to have an AM and an FM frequency in every major market in the nation.
To spread the word?
Well, not only to spread the word, but to broadcast the second coming.
Oh, are you that serious?
Smart. That was smart. They were thinking ahead.
That's
got to be prepared.
That's what I heard.
Do you think the Mormons would be pleased to see how their frequency turned out with this show?
No.
I'd say it kind of turned away from any second coming, wouldn't you?
Yeah. That's a tough one, pal.
You can walk under a ladder, dude.
Yeah, you can. Friday the 13th is cool. So anyway, we kind of turned away from that idea until one day I was talking to Danny Owen, who was one of the very few people that I'd let in on what we were trying to do. And that's another thing. That's a whole nother story. Just how close and small we kept the circle of people who knew about this and how successful we were in keeping that tight for so long.
Well, okay, so whenever you were, this whole process started and, you know, you're talking Bonneville and 1310 and things like that, where are we on the calendar?
We're to the point where we're starting to get guys on board.
So would this have been in the summer?
Yeah, this would have been in the summer.
All right.
This has been in probably August or early September when I had this conversation with Danny.
Was there a chance, though, that
it might all fall through?
No, I mean, clearly, yeah, but I mean, from a standpoint of finding a signal, there's a really good chance you were not going to find one.
Yeah, the odds were probably stacked against
you. That's the toughest thing, right? That's the number one thing. Anybody can find a guy to sit here and do this, but you got to have a signal to do this.
Yeah, back then you had to have a signal. Like I say, somebody wants to do this today, you can do it.
Well, how'd you wrestle it away from the Mormon church?
Well, I didn't think we could. I thought it was really out of play for us. But I was talking to Danny about it one day, and Danny was the program director at KZPS at that time.
Not me.
And Danny is a guy who was also program director here for a very brief period during the SFX era. And he's a guy that, you know, I've known in the business for a long, long time, and he's real smart, and I just trust the hell out of Danny, even today. And I was talking to him, you know, the subject of where we're going to put this came up, and I told him some of the others we were looking at, like 660, 770. I told him, I don't know, we might look into Soul 73, but I doubt if we could get that. And there were a couple of other lesser ones that we were talking about.
Soul 73 now, Korea?
Yep. Yeah, it is. And I'd pretty much given up the ghost on getting any of the larger ones that we had already glossed over and just written off. And I thought we were going to have to settle for one of those. But very casually, he said, well, why don't you try to buy 1310? And I thought, I said to him, you think they'd sell it? He said, well, I don't know. Never hurts to ask. And so,
did he know something that nobody else did?
No, I don't think he did. I don't think he knew anything definitively. I mean, he didn't indicate that. And yeah. I'm sure that if he had, you know, some inkling that it might be for sale, he would have told me.
Yeah.
He probably would have told me long before then. Well, anyway, I took it back to the other guys. I took it back to Spence and Jeffrey and told them. And they made a phone call up to Salt Lake City and got on the phone with this guy named Bruce Murphy, I think his name was, who was running Bonneville at that time. And they started talking to him about buying KAAM, and he seemed fairly open to the idea, to our surprise.
Were they making any money? I mean, it was an oldie station.
They were doing the music of your life.
Yeah.
It was WRR, right?
At one time.
Yeah.
Like, it couldn't have been doing very well.
No, it wasn't.
You know what WRR stands for, Corby?
What?
Where Radio Radiates.
That's right.
You need to know your ticket history, bro.
Yes, we are on WRR, or what once was WRR, right now.
Weird.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I put Spence onto this, and he got a hold of Bruce and started talking to him and everything, and one thing led to another, and turkey started being talked. And Spence had some idea of what he thought might get the ball rolling. And he threw it out there. And right away, the guy jumped on it. And the price was $3 million.
Damn.
Which is dirt cheap.
For what it is? For what?
Yeah.
For
any signal, really.
I think that once he heard that, he wanted to act fast on this and get it done before we had a chance to change our minds.
Right.
Once he found out that here we were willing to pay him that for this thing, then he was ready to get this done and get it done post haste.
Throw in a couple extra wives on the side.
Now you're buying the tower, everything, right?
Tower, transmitter, everything. And at that time, boy, everything out there and at the tower and the transmitter and all that was in real, real disarray. I don't think they had maintained that thing for years. Once we got Tim Walker in here, the wisecracking engineer.
So many nicknames.
How Howard Stern is that?
So many nicknames.
And he went out there and took a look at it for the first time. He came back here and just, I ran into him. He just said, man, I can't believe that.
What a mess.
Yeah, this is going to keep us going for a whole month, day and night, trying to get this squared away.
Oh, God.
Damn.
But the deal went through. We wound up with it, and somewhere in my archive, somewhere, I have a copy of the agreement contract between us and Bonneville for the transfer of KAAM for the tidy sum of $3 million. A huge, huge investment for us.
So was there any thought that, as I'm sure you were trying to drive different places and turn on 1310, that you thought to yourself, this signal sucks.
Oh, yeah.
And this is not going to behoove us in the way that we, you know, our grand plans. It's not never going to come to fruition because of this signal.
But you know,
especially when you're competing with Galloway and 820, who you can pick up in Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah.
But you know what my thought right after that was?
What?
And it's also the best we're going to be able to do.
Yeah, probably so.
I mean, compared to those others that I mentioned, your 660s and your 770s, this was definitely the play.
Yeah.
So, papers were signed, and the title was transferred.
I'm guessing you didn't pitch in $1 million of your own dollars. I have a feeling that this deal, this partnership, might have been maybe a little more sweat equity on your end.
He wasn't the money man.
No, I wasn't.
He was an idea man.
What do you conceptualize? Yes. You don't fund?
That's right. Exactly. I don't fund, I conceptualize. And that's the way it was. I didn't have anything to put in.
Less risk in that.
Yeah, I might have had $20 to put in on this.
And a cable spool coffee table.
Yeah. If you'd have wanted one of those, if we'd have needed something to set the board on, I had that.
Some kitchen furniture.
Right, some Zubas.
He had those. Bonneville's still around.
How many, do you know?
They're in Phoenix, Sacramento, San Francisco, Denver, Salt Lake City, Seattle, about 20 stations.
So the other 30 states won't know about the second coming?
Right.
They're going to have to go get their second coming news somewhere else.
Second coming.
Spence texted me and said, howdy. He's listening.
Good.
Well, hope you got your $3 million back, buddy.
Nah, he didn't. It was a waste. Never got it back.
Oh, he got it back all right. He got it back. He did just fine on this thing.